Amber, tell us about your blog, your background, kind of your minimalist lifestyle. And yeah, just kind of introduce yourself to Rowdy Kitten readers.
Well, hi, everybody. It's good to be here talking with Tammy. So to give you kind of a background on my life and what I do on my blog, epicself.com, it's basically a mind, body, spirit blog. So it covers all types of wellness. So basically integrating, you know, nutrition with movement, with meditation and awareness exercises. And I'm a professional dancer and a Pilates instructor based out of San Francisco at the moment, though that's going to change, I think, in a little bit. But I started my Epic Self about 3 years ago just because I'm very passionate about wellness, holistic living, green living. And then I went through this process where I traveled abroad for about 7 months and I lived out of 2 backpacks and was able to really cut down to a very minimal life and get rid of everything, sold everything. And it was the most freeing experience I've ever had. And it was very challenging to live on the road for me. I really learned my limits of what I'm willing to deal with in terms of instability. Mm-hmm. And living out of 2 backpacks and floating around was a little bit too unstable for me. So I had to come back and kind of regroup, save money. And mm-hmm. I'm at a place now where I'm looking to jump off again and go be more of a nomad at the moment. But Epic Self has been a huge drive for me. It's my passion, and I love writing about health and fitness and wellness and helping people create their most epic self, which is really the whole point of the blog. And then most recently, I launched a virtual Pilates business where I'm looking to fuse my passion, so be able to be a nomad, live minimally and as in the green as possible, but also be able to teach what I love virtually and expose it to everybody around the world, because everybody should have this great work in their bodies and in their lives and to enrich their lives. And so I'm looking to really touch as many people as possible and make it more of a global thing. When I was teaching in Australia, I was able to really teach over there and get some exposure in different countries. And I would love to just make it completely global and be able to have clients from all over the world. And why be stuck in one location? You know, unfortunately, with client-based work, you feel like you've got to stay somewhere and be stuck in that location, and it ties you down. So I was like, well, let's open it to the world with Skype and these kind of virtual conference sites. Open it to the world, and you then obviously triple, quadruple fold your client base and your, you know, exposure. And then I can move anywhere I want and teach them anywhere I want. And then they can as well. They can be traveling across the globe on their various, you know, business things and be able to get the mind body work that they want.
That's so awesome. Like, I just love it. I want, so you want to be a nomad. So what is that going to look like? Because prior to hitting the record button, you had mentioned maybe like buying a tiny trailer or RV to travel the country. So
yeah, so I'm looking into that, and that's why I want to chat with you, Tammy, and also other minimal livers, and be able to figure out cost-effective-wise what's going to be the best for me, and whether it's smart for me to invest in something like that, or invest in my education, or invest in traveling abroad. Mm-hmm. So I'm really kind of at a point where I'm looking where I want to take my life, and whether I want to be teaching retreats. I already have a retreat set up in October. So whether I want to focus on that or be able to be more of a nomad around the States. Mm-hmm. And so I'm really looking to just learn as much from people who are doing it and be able to then decide. But I think it'd be so cool to be able to teach virtually from beautiful places, be able to go to a gorgeous beach in La Jolla in San Diego and teach my clients from there, teach live broadcasted classes to people around the world and be able to bring people together that way.
Yeah.
That'd be awesome. Yeah.
I think so too. Well, I don't know, like, I was just thinking about the tumbleweed tiny houses and then Portland alternative dwellings, but I think, like, those little homes are so beautiful because they're like miniature Victorian cottages or something on wheels.
Oh, okay.
Super cute, but you'd have to tow it, so that would be hard. But
right.
So that's where the RV might work out better for you. Or just doing the apartment thing, too, wouldn't be horrible month to month because that's cheap, so...
It is. Well, and that's the thing is, you know, San Francisco is so expensive that, you know, I have a large client base here, but there's a big part of me that's like, why can't I be more mobile? And mm-hmm. I don't need to be stuck in one location. I can take the client base I have and say, okay, I'm moving. Do you want to work with me virtually?
Yeah.
And see if I can pull them that way. So
nice. So back to your Pilates stuff. Like, I get a lot of emails from people who want to get fit and aren't sure like where to start. So if someone is like totally out of shape and they want to start doing Pilates or yoga or any kind of physical activity, what would you recommend to that person? And of course, signing up for your virtual studio. That'd be cool.
No, I love working with beginners because they're the most fresh and they're the best learners. You know, they're really eager to learn the work. Whereas, you know, when you get more professionals coming in or people that have done the work for a while, they come at it with this kind of already set movement background. But I love working with beginners, and it's scary, it's intimidating because you come in and you go, okay, I don't know what to expect. But I think the biggest thing is getting over your fear of what a class is going to be like. So I would say for somebody who's not been working out and really just wants to get moving, start taking walks every day. I am the biggest proponent of power walks. I power walk all over the city, mm-hmm. climb hills and do all that, and incorporate it into your day so it's not like you're having to go to a gym and walk on a treadmill for an hour, because mm-hmm. no one will ever stick with that. It's way too boring. And it just is not going to keep you motivated.
Yeah.
And I know a lot of people, they kind of feel like they need somebody over their shoulder saying, go faster, go harder, push yourself,
mm-hmm.
Because they don't have the self-motivation. Mm-hmm. So that's why I like doing one-on-one work in small groups of people, because you do keep them motivated. And some people just really need that, and they can't just go to a gym and do it themselves. But I think the more that you incorporate exercise into your day, you know, maybe you park the car like 5 blocks away and walk mm-hmm. to the office, or you bike to work. You do things that where exercise is already ingrained in your day, so that if you miss the gym that day or you miss like your favorite workout class or whatever it is, you're not beating yourself up going, oh, I didn't move today.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I would say just go to, you know, find the places that offer beginning classes where you can start to integrate into yoga or Pilates. And of course, you know, you need both. You can't just do yoga, mm-hmm. I think. You need to have the aerobic aspect for your heart and things like that. So power walking, start doing that. And then just start slowly build that, increasing that, you know, endurance level, and start taking, you know, aerobics classes are fun, dance classes. I think the biggest reason people don't stay motivated is because mm-hmm. they're having fun. And being active is fun, and going in and playing a volleyball game is so much more fun than running on a treadmill. So go do that. I mean, you're burning a ton of calories doing that. So go do that, you know. Go take a Zumba class, you know, salsa-inspired aerobics class. And that's what I do. I mean, I take dance classes 4 or 5 times a week because that's what I love. And I go dance at a club or something, burn calories that way, you know. But I think it needs to be fun.
I agree. I love your tips because, I mean, for me, I just joined a yoga studio again because I was, like, having a really hard time practicing by myself. Like, I just wasn't, like, doing it. So it's pretty inexpensive, but also, like, because I'm car-free, I kind of incorporate my activities into my daily life, like you're saying. My cat's trying to jump on the computer. Sorry. but, yeah, I think just kind of, like you're saying, incorporating that into the daily routine is such a helpful thing to do. So, yeah.
And just, you know, walking or biking to the yoga studio and then leaving there and going home and being able to, you know, make nice meals. And I think that health, it needs to be a priority above everything else. Food needs to be a priority. Taking care of your body needs to be a huge priority. And as much as I say that, it's hard for me to keep the balance too. You know, I teach so much that I feel like I can't even get my workouts in sometimes and take care of myself. So it's important to find balance.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
So I wanted to go back to, like, your traveling adventures. Like, where did you travel when you were on the road? And then you said you had 2 backpacks. So kind of, like, what type of stuff did you carry with you? And I guess what was the most challenging aspect of being on the road for an extended period of time?
Wow, okay. So with the 2-backpack thing, I first of all, I went to Australia. That was my first stop, and I loved Australia, and it was, the only issue is it was a really similar to the States, It wasn't a big cultural difference. Mm-hmm. So my whole plan originally was to leave, go to Sydney and teach in Melbourne. I had a job lined up in Melbourne. So I said, okay, I'll do Australia for maybe, mm-hmm. you know, 4-6 months and then continue. I was going to go to Bali, go through India and end up in Europe. And I wanted to kind of do a whole thing and just be able to teach and dance and learn along the way. I really wanted to get yoga certified in India. So that mm-hmm. was kind of one of my big goals. Mm-hmm. Well, I got 7 months through Australia after seeing a large, large piece of the country. I pretty much only missed like the West Coast. And, I was like, I need stability. I can no longer do this. I was mm-hmm. bopping every couple months. So, you know, I, like I said, I lived out of 2 backpacks. When I first got there, I had mainly all winter clothing, mm-hmm. which was super heavy, obviously carrying that around. And I had mm-hmm. coats and things like that. And Melbourne was a lot colder, even in San Francisco. And so I ended up, you know, taking on some things. But it was a thing where, you know, I would only take on something if I got rid of something. Mm-hmm. So, I only had so much room.
Yeah.
And if I could do it again, I would actually travel lighter.
Yeah.
Because I did have a huge trail backpack that was probably, I want to say maybe 40 pounds. And then I had a North Face backpack that I wear on the front.
Oh, wow.
That was maybe 15, 20 pounds. And mm-hmm. of course, you know, my lifeline was this computer. So mm-hmm. I did all my website work through this and launched a website called 2 Backpacks, which I no longer have, but it's, mm-hmm. it was a kind of a chronological, description of what I was going through during mm-hmm. my road mm-hmm. and doing video kind of podcasts and things like that and trying to give some people advice as I was going. Mm-hmm. And so I did that for about 7 months and then flew back to the States to settle and regroup. And I just had to decide between Sydney or San Francisco. I was mm-hmm. either kind of staying in Sydney and work for 6 months or come back to San Francisco.
Yeah.
So, but in terms of like minimal living, I basically just carried what I needed. So yeah. Computer was it, phone. I had just a really crappy phone that I bought mm-hmm. in Australia for like $20.
Nice.
And it wasn't a smartphone. I wish I had known. I sold my iPhone before I left the States and I didn't know that you could break it and unlock it. Mm-hmm. And I sold it and I really could have used it, but the international rates at the time were really expensive. So I'd say the biggest challenges for me were financial issues. Mm-hmm. I was so eager to travel that I wasn't patient enough and I didn't stay in a place long enough to save enough money to feel like I could really travel the way I wanted to. Mm-hmm. I was doing couch surfing and living in hostels and I just did not have the funds that I really wanted to, in order to travel properly. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I learned a lot about budgeting and I learned Australia is not as cheap as I thought it was going to be. And, you know, with the economy, you know, it was bad in the States, but Australia's economy stayed good. So it was, the exchange rate wasn't as good. So you just learn those things as you go. And I wouldn't have known unless I'd done it.
Right.
Like yourself off the cliff and going, okay, I'm going to fall on my face probably. And I went through some of the hardest times I've ever had on my own. Being by myself, having to deal with all my own stuff, mm-hmm. my financial stress and... Mm-hmm. Being by myself, I think, was another big thing. I'm a very social person, I found out. Mm-hmm. And it was very hard to be isolated on my own.
Yeah.
Like that. And as much as you meet a ton of people when you're traveling, you won't see them unless you stay put. You're not mm-hmm. going to be able to develop relationships with them. Mm-hmm. And so leaving people all the time was really hard.
Yeah, I can only imagine because we've been thinking about biking across the country maybe next year or the year after.
Oh, great.
So, I mean, it's something we're definitely going to do, but like you're saying, I think it would be really hard. Like, you go place to place, make friends, and then have to leave them because a couple, they have a website called The Path Less Pedaled, Russ and Laura. They're biking across the country right now and are kind of like traveling artisans, but they had said, like, the hardest thing was just, you know, leaving new friends behind, but at the same time, it's such an awesome learning experience doing that kind of traveling. So it's really cool you were able to do the travels you've done so far.
But. Yeah, and I think what's interesting though is then I came back and it's like all the fear sets in, and it's like, you know, you're so used to living on a really tight budget that mm-hmm. you're going, oh gosh, I can't spend any money, and you're almost, it almost increases the. For me, at least, because I think I had such difficult times sometimes that during my travels that it makes me fearful of traveling again.
Mm-hmm.
But I know that if I do it, it's going to be fine, and I'll be a lot smarter this time and mm-hmm. know, okay, I need this much money. I need this, you know, and I need to budget properly and do what I need to do. So I've learned a lot, and you learn every time you go.
Yeah. That's cool. I'm trying to think, like, do you have anything else you want to add? Like, are there any other cool projects that you're working on that you want to share? Yeah. What else is going on in your life?
Well, I'm looking to, again, you know, build my virtual client base. And so one of those things I want to be doing in the next couple of weeks is actually putting together a focus group of mm-hmm. people that are interested in, you know, breath awareness and posture and core work. I mean, Pilates is a lot about, it's all about core work and about aligning the body,
mm-hmm.
being more aware of how all of your muscles work together and keep you in prime shape and ease of movement. So what I've been focusing on in my videos, because I do videos every couple days or whatever and post mm-hmm. them on my blog that people can follow. And so I've had a lot of interest in posture lately because everybody is hunched over a computer.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a huge audience of people that all work on the computer. Obviously, readers of mine, they all are on the computer a lot. So I think it's the epidemic across this country, and especially in this city, let me tell you, there's a lot of techies in this city.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a huge, huge problem because people, they lose their energy when you're hunched over like that. You can't digest properly. You're losing your energy. And it's all about creating more energy and having a better life, better quality of life. And if you have to work behind a computer, you don't need to damage your body at the same time. So,
when I'm sitting, I just feel myself like shrinking. It's so hard to, you know, be kind of upright. I've been standing a lot while I work, and that's been helpful. But yeah, it's rough.
Hard because I've talked to so many people. You know, people are meant to move. We are movers. And we're meant to be roaming around all day and collecting, you know, food and whatnot. And so to force us to sit in a chair for 8 hours is torture on the body. You know, it's torture. Not only because you're looking at a screen, your eyes are getting blurry and bloodshot from looking at an LCD screen, but your body is meant to move.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not meant to sit like this, like a sitting pigeon, you know. So that's kind of my biggest thing is take movement breaks. You know, if you're typing on the computer, get up and move for like 10 minutes and go sit back down. But if you have to, but just move as much as possible.
Keep moving.
Yeah.
Oopsie. Okay. Well, it was really awesome talking with you about your little business and Pilates and being healthy. You're doing a lot of good work. So I really appreciate your time.
Oh, absolutely. Well, thank you so much for having me.